this is WSIU in Focus. As we celebrate the 200th birthday of Illinois, we now continue with part two of our feature on Cahokia Mounds State Historic Site in Collinsville. WSIU went there on August the 4th for the annual Archaeology Field Day, and to recap, from the last time in our first part, we learned why this place, a series of earthen mounds built about 1000 AD, is so significant. And in case you missed it, here is Assistant Site Superintendent Bill Eisminger.
It's the largest settlement in North America, north of Mexico. There are some bigger sites in Mexico, but in the United States, or north of Mexico, we're the largest prehistoric Indian settlement.
Okay. And people like to have specific numbers. When generally does the research say that people started congregating here in the bottoms, Bill?
Well, we have evidence of people having been here since the end of the Ice Age in this area.
Which
so
is what, 9,000?
It's about 9 to 10,000 BC. And so there's that's what we call the Paleo-Indian period. And that's followed by what's called the Archaic period from about 8,000 to 1,000 BC. And then we have what we call the Woodland period from about 1,000 BC up to almost 1,000 AD. Then we have the Mississippian period, of which Cahokia was a part. So there have been people here for, 12,000 years.
And now on part two of our Cahokia feature, we ask, who were these people who were there 1,000 years ago? And for that answer, I go out to one site not too far from the 100-foot-tall Monk's Mound and speak with Dr. John Kelly of the Department of Anthropology at Washington University in St. Louis.
We use a term as archaeologists to characterize those people that were what we call pre-Columbian, and the term we use is Mississippian. Now, we don't know what they actually call themselves. Now, they are probably the ancestors of people like the Osage or other what we call cognate tribes, related tribes like the Quapaw or the Kaw or the Ponca or the Omaha. And so those are the ones that basically historically occupied the area from Arkansas west of the Mississippi up to eastern Nebraska. So the Osage are the ones that themselves say they are descended from here.
Fantastic.
So that would be a possibility, the most likely possibility of who was the direct descendants. And there it was, given the fact that we're probably dealing with an urban environment or a city, it was probably composed with people from all over.
And those people built hundreds of mounds, not only around Cahokia, but around the region. One of the largest, Monk's Mound. Monk's Mound is about 100 feet tall, 1,000 feet long, and 700 feet wide at the base. And some estimates say it contains 22 million cubic feet of soil. And all of that dirt got there the old-fashioned way.
Probably, as much as 50 pounds at a time people were carrying. And we still see where they got the dirt. We still can see borrow pits, the depressions in the ground that when it rains a lot, they have water in them. They hold like little ponds and lakes around the site. And most of them are on this southern part of our site where there's more clay in the soil, which they preferred for the mound construction. When they're building a mound, when we dig into a mound, for instance, we can actually see the individual basket loads of dirt because they're getting dirt from different places where it's different colors or different levels in a borrow pit.
And after hearing the story of how these ancient Americans built this mound out of soil, literally carrying it on their backs, I was so intrigued that I figured it was time to leave the visitor center and see this structure for myself. In the parking lot right in front of the huge Monk's Mound, two other visitors were glad to talk. Hello, I'm a reporter with WSIU Radio in Carbondale, and I'm doing a story. Ma'am, could I have your name and where you're from?
My name is Rhonda Galaski, and I'm from Edwardsville, Illinois.
Which is just up the road here, and we are standing in the parking lot of Monk's Mound. This is a pretty inspirational landscape feature, and that's an understatement, don't you think?
It is. I come down here and walk frequently. It's a spiritual experience for me. Hi, my name's Diana Barron. I'm from Collinsville, Illinois, originally from Fairmont City, which is about a couple miles down the road from the mounds. And so I've known the mounds since I was a kid, and we used to run sleds down the backside of it trying to avoid trees in the gully.
Back when we actually had winters and had snow.
Winters and snows, and that was before they cleared all the trees off of the mounds. The Cahokia Mounds organization, and it is made up of a lot of volunteers who do a lot of really great work. They've done a really good job of preserving this area and expanding it and making it available to the public to learn about those original inhabitants and more about just our general, our area in general. And it's just a great view when you go to the top, or even when you're walking the trails that go off into the area behind the orientation center.
Usually see deer, and there are several trails back around the smaller mounds and into the fields, even over to the east of the museum.
Okay.
They're flat.
Okay.
They're flat, so it's easier walking, and they're nice.
Sure, looking at the 150 steps going up to the top of the mound, I knew I would have a bit of a workout. But after driving almost 2 hours from Carbondale, I had to go to the top.
About halfway up the stairs, boy, this is a workout.
And I was only carrying about 6 pounds of equipment. I thought 1,000 years ago the people who built this were carrying roughly 50 pounds of dirt on their back. Of course, back then, the Native Americans were not as sedentary as we are today. After about 10 minutes, I made it to the top of Monk's Mound, and sure enough, as I looked straight to the west, I could see St. Louis, the arch, the big buildings, some big smokestacks. I was looking at the artifacts of our century, while the artifacts of 1,000 years ago were buried beneath my feet. Of course, I was not the only one on top of the mound that day. Could I get your name and where you're from?
Kristen, I'm from Belleville, Illinois.
What do you like about this place?
The view. And then the sky is beautiful, the sun shining on me.
Sir, can you give me your name and where you're from?
My name is Aaron, Belleville.
What do you think of this place, Monk's Mound?
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. I've been here before. It's nice.
Yeah. Very beautiful view. And just the fact, thinking that thousands of years ago, people built this by hand. Doesn't that just blow you away?
Yes, it does.
As if the huge mound was not impressive enough, at the same area where I was standing, according to researchers, there used to be a huge community building. Here's Washington University's Dr. Kelly again.
On top of Monk's Mound is there was a large building up on the very summit that was built in the 12th century, and it was the largest building at the site. So it was about 100, what we would say, 100 feet by 50 feet. So about 5,000 square feet. I mean, it's larger than most people's homes today.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, it was taken down, and then they capped the top of that mound.
They
brought in earth and they sealed it. They buried it. So what do you have in the middle of the site? You not only have a mound, but you have a building or a house that's in the middle. So you have a metaphor, a potential metaphor, and we can actually trace the presence of a large building within a community going back at least, that's at 11 to 1200, so we can go back at least almost 200 to 300 years earlier, in which there's small, and not so much here, but in the region, sure, in which there was, within a small village, there was a building in the middle.
Fascinating.
So you got continuity in that sense.
And that concept can be seen today in our towns. What do you see in many towns here in Southern Illinois? A square, and inside the square, a big, beautiful courthouse in the middle. Why should somebody visit this Cahokia Mounds State Historic Site, Dr. Kelly?
Well, I think the main thing is it represents not only the efforts of the native peoples that built this and constructed it, perhaps one of, and it's a number of different things, very significant. We're seeing the beginnings of urbanism take place at this location in the St. Louis region. I mean, it's not just the site, but the surrounding settlements. And it's the last place on Earth in which pristine development of a city was starting to take place. And you have to, you put this in a global perspective. I mean, some of my colleagues don't really talk about it as a city, and that's fine, because the cities are hard, can be hard to define. But the thing is when we look at it globally, we're seeing the beginnings of a process that today, with half our population living in cities, if we go back, you know, 5,000 years ago when we began to see cities emerge in Mesopotamia, that process is not as clear because it has such a long history to it. So the beginnings are beneath all those tells in the Middle East or in other areas, whether it's Egypt or South America or China. But here in the eastern woodlands, we have four centuries before it's truncated by the European incursion. And so we can see that process taking place. And right before our eyes. And I mean, it does, and you only have 400 years, but you can begin to see the nature of that development taking place. And that's the important part of this site, is it's really part of what we all as humans have created. And in some instances, so, you know, people see them, cities, as a more of a problem than as a blessing, in a sense.
Solutions.
Yeah. And it's going to continue to be that way. We're going to continue to see more and more people in these places.
For WashU grad student Joy Versman, it is an amazing place.
So what attracts you to this site? What is so fascinating about it for you?
Yeah. Well, like you were saying, it's amazing. 1,000 years ago, people were standing here and going, this looks like a great place to build a city.
PhD candidate Caitlin Rankin agrees.
Does this site in this area ever get boring at all for you, no matter how many times you work here?
No, this site is huge. We've maybe touched 1% of the site, so we're always learning something new. It's always finding something unexpected, so it's always exciting to be working here.
For WSIU In Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher.